Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gopremanandi. All glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Sri the Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Paradaya Krishna Krishna Vishnu Srimati Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Bhakti Devi. Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishishishishinvani Pasyakya, Nirvishisharine. Hare Krishna, reading today from the first canto, chapter 6, which is nearing an end. It's entitled The Conversation Between Narada and Vyas. We're on text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tatojayam Udirayat Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhakti bhavati naishthiti.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our rare means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart is destroyed almost to nil. In loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. Text 33.
Pragayata Sarviryani.
Pragayata
Svavirjani. Tirthapada Priyashrava.
Tirthapada Priyashrava.
Ahuta Iva Me Sigram. Ahuta Iva Me Sigram. Darshanam yati chetasi.
Darshanam yati
chetasi.
Pragayata
svavirjani.
Pragayata svavirjani.
Tirthapada
priyashrava. Tirthapada priyashrava.
Ahuta iva me shigram.
Ahuta iva me shigram.
Darshanam yati chetasi.
Pradayata Savirjani Tirthapada Priyashrava Ahuta Iva Me Shigram
Darshanam Yati Chesati
Pradayata
Savirjani
Darshanam
yati chetasi.
We're shooting for 100%, so it's you and then Ms. Prabhu, so. That makes 100% chanting. Thank you. Pragayata. Thus singing. Savirayani. Own activities. Tirthapada. The Lord whose lotus feet are the source of all virtues or holiness. Or holiness. Thank you. That was a long one. Sorry. Priyashrava, pleasing to hear. Ahuta, called for. Eva, just like. May, to me. Shigram, very soon. Darshanam, sight. Yati, appears. Chetasi, on the seat of the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant His holy activities. So this is Narada Muni speaking. He's continuing to explain his progress in devotional service to Vyasadeva to inspire him to continue on and focus in on glorifying the pastimes of the Lord only. The verse, the translation once again, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant His holy activities. Omagina Chimirandasya Janangina Savatana Chaksu Umitanjena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, which are actually manifested before us in the presence of His purport. And He forced open our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I'm therefore totally indebted to Him. Beg for service life after life. Because I didn't really want to open my eyes, because once your eyes are open, there's a lot of responsibility there. Once you actually understand the value of human life, there's a lot of responsibility to endeavor in that way. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, the absolute personality of Godhead is not different from His transcendental name, form, pastime, and the sound vibration thereof. So one thing that we could do to make this even more interactive than it could possibly be is every time that we read something here from Prabhupada's purport, and you can think of a verse from the Bhagavatam or from Gita or from the scriptures that support the statement that Srila Prabhupada just said, you could either speak it if you're present or put it in the chat box or on Pran Govinda's text him. So that first sentence should give us a few ideas, some idea. The absolute personality of Godhead is not different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibration thereof. Anything come to mind that can support that statement?
Hold on. What's the rules?
The rule? The rule is, we'll give these guys a chance and then you can go. That's the rule, okay? You'll be called on, not to worry, okay?
Probably you'll be called every time. Something with Krishna Namadi.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu told to Sanatana Goswami Pada. Nama Vigraha Sarup Tina Yatarup Tina Death Naiti Nichitana Vandu. With the name, pastime, the associate, they're all on the same platform, Satchitananda form. Nobody should ever see difference.
Yeah.
On the spiritual level.
On the spiritual level.
Yes.
And it's interesting, we've heard this over and over in various scriptures, in various texts, in various lectures and stuff, and still the practical application of it, you have to endeavor to see like that, because otherwise I think that to be in the physical presence of the Lord is one thing. Arjuna had that special opportunity, he got direct instructions from the Lord, therefore he was blessed and he knew what to do. And yet I'm not in that position. I don't have that. But actually we do have that opportunity by associating with the transcendental literatures, associating with devotees who repeat the instructions of the Lord. We have that opportunity to have that direct association with the Lord. Now, it is a gradual process to realize that, and gradually that becomes more and more revealed. But if I can get through the purport,
we'll
get to that point. Already?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand. This is a very nice introspective. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvam Bhattacharya, Jivera Asti Vishas, the bones of the living entity and the soul of the living entity are impure. But the Kalban and the Konsha, they are the soul and the bones, according to Shastra, is very pure. So I'm trying to think like, okay, is that the faith I have to build? I cannot put a logic or reason or... So the substance of the deity is not a marble, but it came from marble or some idea. How can you just elaborate on it?
I can elaborate on it, and I will elaborate on it a little bit only, and then more so at the end of the purport. Yes, it's a question of faith. It's a question of faith. Just like, that's why Prabhupada gives that exact example of stool being contaminated, yet the stool of a cow is pure. He gives it from the Vedas. We have to have anything that's said in the Vedas, it's understood to be accepted as truth, and one can apply their logic and reasoning to try to understand it, or even experimental knowledge to try to understand it. And that will take some time, but as Prabhupada says in the beginning of Sri Yasha Upanishad, in the introduction to Sri Yasha Upanishad, he says, if you accept the Vedas, then you save time. You just save time. Just like then Prabhupada points out that, I don't know, was it Bosch or some scientist that he was aware of? Okay, that did the experiment to find out that the cow dung actually does have all antiseptic qualities. So, yeah. But hopefully I'm going to remember to speak on that a little bit more at the end of the purport, okay? As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he, capital H, the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. So poetic. I'm going to read it again, okay? And it's referring to Krishna revealing himself. Okay. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. I'm going to try to read the whole purport and then come back and hopefully remember the points that I want to make about that spiritual television point. Okay. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related to the Lord in loving transcendental service, that's the key right there, he's related to the Lord in loving transcendental service, can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. It is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct. And the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual soul are but reflections of the same psychology in the absolute Lord. The only difference is, the only difference is that the Lord is the greatest personality of all and absolute in all his affairs. If, therefore, the Lord is attracted by the pure devotee's chanting of his glories, there is nothing astonishing. Since he is absolute, he can appear himself in the picture of his glorification, the two things being identical. Srila Narada chants the glorification of the Lord not for his personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord. Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. I'm going to read those last two sentences again. Srila Narada chants the glorification of the Lord not for his personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord, Narada penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. So many nice points in this purport, as there are in all of Prabhupada's purports. But we have to train ourselves as we read Srila Prabhupada's purports to actually absorb them at the same time as we're reading them, or try to absorb them. It's so easy to read and just, you know, the mind is someplace else. That's the easy part. The hard part is read and focus in on what we're reading. Have that transcendental sound vibration, which is identical to the Lord, penetrate the heart and the mind, and therefore see the Lord present in that glorification. So, here, the second sentence of the purport. As soon as the pure devotee engages himself in pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once it becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. So immediately it brings to my mind the Lord Chaitanya's verse, how the heart, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, it is like a mirror. But a mirror can only reflect when it's clean, when it's cleansed. So that cleansing of the mirror is the process, the whole process of devotional service, of chanting the Lord's holy names. And by chanting the Lord's holy names, form, glorification, his pastime, then the heart becomes cleansed. So what does it become cleansed of? It becomes cleansed of all the misconceptions that we have of who we are. Just a minor detail. We just happen to think that this is who I am. This is who I always will be, and I'm like this, and this is whatever, whatever. This is my family, or my extended family, you know, whatever. But this is just a temporary designation. And, as you've all heard millions and millions of times, but when you think about it, we've had millions and millions of temporary designations who we thought was exactly us. And in a few years, or in a few moments, some of us will pass on, and we'll have another, perhaps, temporary designation, and we'll be sure that that's us, too. We have to always try to imbibe it and practice what we're hearing. And then, that gradual cleansing of the heart, it takes place. I'm reading, no, I'm not reading, I'm hearing in Srimad Bhagavatam, in our Bhagavatam study with Dhruva Maharaj Puru, which is very nice if you ever want to take it up. Okay, we're on the 13th chapter, just a little bit ahead of right where we are in class. And that 13th chapter is when Dhritarashtra is quitting home, you know, it's a little further on, Dhritarashtra is quitting home. So Prabhupada says in one of the purports, he says, persistent endeavor in the process of devotional service will bring one to success. It might not be exactly those words, that's my summary of it, but he uses the word persistent endeavor. Persistent endeavor will bring one in the process of devotional service, will bring one to ultimate success. And there are stages of success, and that's one of the points. There are stages of understanding, there are stages of acceptance, there are stages of realization, there are stages of purification in the process of devotional service. So one thing that Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he says, at least while you're reading Bhagavad Gita, one should theoretically accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that way you'll get the most benefit from reading Bhagavad Gita. If you can understand, if you can accept, even if it's only while you're reading, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you'll get a lot more benefit from reading the Gita. So, from that initial, perhaps reluctant acceptance that Krishna could possibly be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by persistently endeavoring to hear more and more about him, then one can make gradual progress in the process, in the advancement. In other words, the heart becomes cleansed. And what's the result of the heart becoming cleansed? The eyes. We can see things, not perhaps physically, but even perhaps physically, more clearly as to the right understanding of what they are. So I'd just like to take a little aside and give people a chance to get 10 extra points in this class if you can, if you know which kind of bird that is that sings. Have you noticed every day that bird sings during class? He does. He's a special bird. And I've noticed that bird singing for years. And I know it's the same bird. And he sings when I'm dressing the deities in the morning, even at 6 o'clock, as soon as the sun comes out, he starts to offer his prayers to Radha Shyam just then.
He's a disciple of
Narada. He is. But he has a name, too. He comes in a certain species. So do you know what kind of bird that is? Okay, well, I'll answer it at the end of class. Okay. Eyes. The eyes become the vision. The vision or understanding of what's actually happening becomes cleansed to a devotee who constantly and persistently endeavors to hear from the scriptures and endeavors to understand the scriptures. So what normally would perhaps be a disturbing circumstance that happens in our life that perhaps many years back would disturb us more, doesn't disturb us as much because why? We understand, oh, this is happening for a reason. There's so many reasons it could be, but it could be because I've been in this material world for so long. We have to accept responsibility. I've been in this material world for so long, and I've been doing so many activities previous to this, my time in devotional service. I've been doing so many activities that have incurred a karmic reaction to it. And by Krishna's grace, I'm just getting a token reaction to those karmic activities right now. And so when you have that understanding, or we begin to have that understanding, then we see things in different ways. Yes, there's the disturbance. Yes, there's, but one can see it as the kind hand of the Lord. So that makes a whole difference on suffering that we have in our lives, the disturbances that we have in our lives. So as Pran Govinda Prabhu read in the announcements when he was reading about Narada Muni from the fourth canto And he was saying, Prabhupada was saying, okay, I just forgot what I was going to say. Narada Muni see things in a different way. Fell out. Yeah, old age. Thank you. Kalakanya. Thank you. Yeah, Kalakanya. It's not that we don't suffer. It was saying that a devotee doesn't suffer the pains of old age, birth, disease, and death. But at the same time, in one sense, you say, well, yeah, tell that. I mean, the body aches, the mind is less strong. You know, so many things are there. So it seems like I'm suffering the effects of old age. But in the sense of what was the essence of that? Can you remember what the essence of that purport was? Or in that point right there, he was saying about death, upcoming attitude towards death. He said, the devotee doesn't fear death anymore as a non-devotee would. Because a non-devotee thinks, this is my all in all. And a devotee, even though we're not on the 100% level of realizing, hey, I'm really, really, really not my body, but at least we've heard it enough times that we can relate to it and apply it in certain circumstances. And we've heard so many times that when you think of death, it's, at least theoretically, we'll all have the chance to apply it personally sooner or later, but at least theoretically it's not as fearful. So there's progress there. So that's a little bit of progress. That's a little bit of progress. And as been stated before, the goals of Krishna consciousness, pure, unalloyed, complete surrender, love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 100% purity of mind and heart, those goals are so lofty, and where we are at is so far from that goal that sometimes it gets discouraging, the distance. But actually we should be encouraged by little progress that we've made. Be encouraged by the progress that you've made and persistently apply yourself to the process of devotional service and see how, because it's a science, it's a science. Devotional service is a science. The process of bhakti yoga is a science. One applies and puts the formula together properly, although we can do it to our individual liking, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, we can do it to our individual liking, but if we add those things to our lives, we'll get the result in the long run. That's the scientific nature of devotional service. So, Srila Prabhupada, in his Nectar of Devotion, which is his commentary on Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's explaining the six characteristics of pure devotional service. Now, why I'm bringing that up, first I've got to give a little introduction to why I'm bringing that up. Because here, Narada is talking to Vyasadeva, and he's talking to him and explaining to him how what his progression in devotional service was like. How, as a young boy, he was happily assisting his mother, and when the sages came to the ashram and stayed there just for the 4 months of the rainy season, and he got the association of the sages and heard from them, and then applied what he heard in his life, how he made so much progress that he could, at the death of his mother, leave home without fear, travel through jungles, etc., without fear, and when he sat down to meditate, Here's what happened. He's been saying in the last few verses that he saw the Supreme Lord right away. And then, you know, there's the whole, you know, the Lord said, well, you're not 100% purified, so I just gave you this little taste of my darshan just to increase your desire for me. Because by increased desire, then what is it? Then what's the science? The application of that, then if there's an increased desire, one's going to endeavor for it even with more determination. Or in other words, be more persistent in their endeavor in devotional service. It's just so all the little pieces fit together so interestingly. So, Nectar Devotion, six characteristics of Okay, wait, a little bit more. In this particular verse, Krishna appears at once in this is the verse, seat of my heart, as if called for, as soon as I began to chant his holy activities. Srila Prabhupada clarifies at the end of the purport that Narada is not chanting for his own personal benefit. He's chanting because when he chants, he penetrates into, by his conscious endeavor and attraction to the Lord, he enters into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that the Lord is attracted, that's the point, thank you Krishna, I'm back to this, the Lord is attracted by the pure devotees chanting. Why is he attracted by the pure devotees chanting? Because their intense attraction for the Lord, their love for the Lord is attracted to the devotee, because that devotee is attracted to him. And when that devotee who's attracted to the Lord in purity and more and more intensely, the Lord becomes more attracted to them. So Narada started to chant, and the Lord, as if he was called for, came and appeared on the seat of his heart. Six characteristics of pure devotional service is the kleshagni, relief from all material distress, all auspicious. The ones that I want to mention are the last ones. Krishna Karshani, Sri Krishna Karshani. This intense attraction for the Lord, intense love for the Lord, our part, our intense love for the Lord is the only way to attract Krishna. It's the only way that Krishna is attracted. He's not attracted by, you know, austerities. He's not attracted by charity. He's not attracted by penances and this and that and word jugglery and so many things and study of the Vedas. He's not attracted by that. He's attracted by the love. He's attracted by the love that's in the heart of the devotee. And that love is there. What's the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says that the love is there in the heart of the devotee already? He doesn't have to look anyplace else. It's there in the heart. Nitya said it's already there. It's not that, oh, I have to get my pure love of Godhead someplace else. No, it's there. We have to clean it off. Clean the mirror. Scrub, scrub, scrub. Just like, look how nice the floor is. And you know what? Well, probably, it usually only lasts looking this nice for a few days because of all the, you know, devotees that come in. So it might last a little longer at this particular stage. But it looks so beautiful. And what is it doing? It's reflecting. Oh, it's reflecting the light. It's reflect. Even sometimes if you're in the right place, you can see the deities reflected in the floor. You know? If you sit, oh, okay. There you go. I have to be a little bit closer, like Madhu Mati. You can see the deities reflected in the floor. So the heart, the cleansed heart of the devotee can reflect the Lord in the heart by the whole process of devotional service. And that's one can feel that presence. Let's see. There was something to mention. There's a mention of how one can feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, here it is. Okay. In the purport. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related to the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. That's our key. That's our, you know, our entrance. And that service can manifest in so many varieties of ways. And another important point is that the Lord's a person. He's a person. He has a personality. He's particularly attracted to those who approach him with love, and to those who approach him at the point where they don't exactly have any love, but they need a few supplies. Then he deputes his agency to supply according to their according to what they deserve. And but for one who approaches him with love, or attempting to approach him with love, that's where we're at. We're attempting to approach him with love. Then he reciprocates. And we can, I'm sure you can all feel that to some degree or other when we're conscious of these things. Hare Krishna. Do you have any discussion or anything?
I have a question.
Yes.
The last word on the last line said that Balad Muni, when he was singing, he was penetrated. What it literally means, like, I hear and only hear, I don't want my mind to go away or something, what does penetrate mean?
Like, for example, in Nectar Devotion Prabhupada says, when somehow or other, when one places Krishna in the mind, for continuous relationship. I'm thinking like, what does that mean? Am I supposed to imagine that I am in his servant and his friend? Or what is literally
that? Oh, thanks. That reminds me of the previous point, previous question that you had. And I was going to say about how it's a gradual process and it's gradually revealed. So that's related to this question also. So, again, let's go back to the example of the heart, the mirror. You know, the mirror, the cup. And obviously it's a little bit more than dusty, like covered, right? It's like practically like wood or granite. Okay, so by the gradual cleansing of the heart, what's there in the heart becomes reflected, which is the love of Krishna. But sometimes it could be cleansed, you know, immediately, because Prabhupada says you could become Krishna conscious in 1 second, if possible. But it doesn't, in the normal course of progress, it doesn't happen like that. It happens gradually. So gradually, the vision, our understanding, our ability to remember Krishna and feel his presence becomes revealed. Because this is, it's interesting, isn't it? There's another point. This is revealed knowledge. All of it's revealed knowledge. We get it in the books. It's there. But revealed in your mind and heart in the gradual process. And we make our endeavor by practicing our sadhana, and gradually Krishna grants, when he desires, he grants the revelation that, oh yeah, I'm really not my body. I mean, it's one thing to realize and it's one thing to repeat it like a little parrot, like I'm doing right now, you know? Or a cardinal. That was a cardinal, okay? That was a cardinal bird singing. Little cardinals, the little red ones with black eyes. Some of them aren't always red, but I won't go there right now. Okay, gradual. It's a gradual revelation in the heart. So the stages of purification and those stages of the processes of devotional service are there. Like the, Adaushrada, thank you, Krishna, Adaushrada.
They know it
like I know it. So the gradual process is there. So by having faith, hearing, by associating with devotees, by taking initiation, by following the process, by cleansing the heart of all the unwanted things, faith, firm faith starts to come, a taste starts to come, love starts to sprout, bhava stage, the beginning stage. Okay, so penetrating, right? That was your question, penetrating. So, what does it mean? So, in Narda's case, penetrating means he felt, and Prabhupada mentions this in other places also, that for the pure devotee, when they chant, they enter into the pastimes of the Lord. I'm only repeating the words. I don't, you know, deeply understand that. But we're so accustomed to thinking of things in three-dimensional platform, you know, it's here, it's material. But there's a whole, transcendental television, Krishna reminded me. There's a spiritual dimension that's beyond our, you know, mechanical understanding of the world, the situation of the world. So transcendental television. Remember where else that's mentioned in our recent study guide? Everyone's here practically in the recent study guide. Transcendental television, somebody who could see something who wasn't in the right, wasn't in the place, but he could see. Shamadashini. Sanjaya. And he had transcendental television given to him by? The ability by? Yasudev. Correct. Good. Yes. So that's in the Bhagavad Gita. Explain the Bhagavad Gita that Sanjaya could see the events in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He was, I don't know how many miles away from the actual battlefield, but he could see by the gift of Vyas what was happening and explain to Dhritarashtra, the blind king, all the events that was happening. So transcendental television, that's can't be explained, you know, well, actually, he whatever, you know, scientifically. I remember many classes, perhaps you also remember some of the classes by Sadaputta Prabhu, when he would just take so many ordinary things like seeing. He would talk about seeing. How do the eyes see? He would explain it, or the retina, the this, reflection, the la la la. He said, but that really doesn't explain how the eyes see. That's only the mechanics of it all. How do your eyes see? He said, we don't even know. Well, those are my words, because I definitely don't know. But so similarly to Sanjaya's ability to see events in different places, can't perhaps at this stage of technological advancement can't be explained materially, but they're there. Transcendental. No, you were saying, what was it that you were saying? Penetrates. Yeah, thanks. So how? What does it mean? It's my understanding, my limited understanding. It's the question of the mind, focusing the mind. That's what it means to penetrate. Because...
focus mind on something.
On...
cannot be just... Like Prabhupada said, japa means forced meditation. And I think a lot about it. I said, what is forced? I have to do something. We. What?
We have to be persistently endeavoring. Shoulder to the wheel, as they said. Persistently endeavoring to focus our mind on the holy name, on Krishna. And then the form, name, form, qualities, pastimes will be revealed. And as stages go, in the beginning it's a force. But gradually it turns into a love. And then that's not force. It just goes there. And this is Narada's experience that he's relating to Vyasadeva. So here's a little aside. I was listening very diligently to Chaitanya Charan giving his lectures on Bhagavad Gita. And on the sidebar, there's, you know, all your other choice, all your other distracting choices. And there was the biography of Swami Om. And I thought, I wonder what they're going to say there. So I clicked on it, and they said exactly what Srila Prabhupada said.
Wow.
That they say the absolute truth can't be explained. He said those exact words. It can't be explained because the truth, it's just beyond your ability to say anything about. And that's when I clicked it off. And I said, well, that was a good lesson. So, why I went there when you said that, fix your mind on what? We don't fix our mind on nothingness because Srila Prabhupada's given us the somethingness that we should fix our mind on. The something, Krishna's lotus feet and his qualities and pastimes. So by gradually doing that forcibly, even the days we don't feel like it, or even the days when our japa is very, like I described bad japa days as dry oatmeal days. But you say them anyway, because it's wise, our vow. And gradually, it will get tasty, gradually. And there's stages, and that stages are there related in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But it's encouraging to see how it's a scientific process. Okay, there's one other thing about Narada. So Narada, what was his experience? Narada's explaining to Vyas his experience of not having transcendental knowledge, hearing from those people who had transcendental knowledge, taking up the process of transcendental knowledge and transcendental life. He's explaining it to Vyasa and how he became perfected in that science. He's explaining it to Vyasadeva, who had spoken and recorded so many Vedic literatures, but now Narada is telling him to focus in on glorification of Krishna. So Vyasadeva is doing that, and then he becomes the spiritual master for so many people. So many people. And then that, somehow or other, from there I went to the 10th canto, 31st chapter, I don't remember the verse number. Tadakatam yutam. That's good because I don't remember that part. Yeah, so, and Buri Bhagada. You're giving me, and so then when King Prataparudra in Chaitanya Leela, when King Prataparudra was massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet in the garden outside Lord Chaitanya after he rested from dancing so vigorously at the Rath Yatra, and he chants the Gopi Geet, and he comes to that verse, Lord Chaitanya jumps up and embraces him. He says, you are the greatest giver. You are giving me this transcendental knowledge by reciting these things. And see, and that's the progression. Narada got it. Narada heard it from those who had it. They gave it to Narada. Narada got it. He gave it to Vyasa and 20 bazillion other people also. And Vyasadeva is giving it to 20 bazillion, million others also. And that's also our following in the line. We get it, we hear, we assimilate it to the best of our ability, and we also share with others. And not in, doesn't have to be in a formal setting either, but sharing Krishna Katha, that is so, it's such an important endeavor. Sharing Krishna Katha doesn't even have to be, quote unquote, your realization. Sharing what you've heard, that purifies the atmosphere, it purifies relationships, it's such a wonderful thing that we could all practice on, especially me.
I have something from Mother Vishnu here. Srila Prabhupada points out that our psychology of liking to hear our own praises is non-different from Krishna's likes, proving we are minute parcel of Him. So nice example. Wonderful.
Yes. The Krishna is a person. That's it. God is a person. Yes. Hare Krishna.
This is from Akhilananda Prabhu. I think it is very important to meditate on the mood of Srila Prabhupada in his 1974 Srimad Bhagavatam, the purport reads, Narad Muni forces the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting.
Is that in the text or is it in the verse or in the purport? Whatever,
purport.
Okay.
Purport. This is from Sita Dinamita. Should we consider updating the matter for transcendental television to transcendental smartphones?
Yes. Yes, because they're very smart if they're used properly. Thanks, C to D. Hare Krishna. That's C to D for you. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very kindly. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And I just don't understand how come, now that nobody can play kartals, there's seven pairs of kartals in the front room right now. Really, it's amazing. All along, or maybe they just all came back because what happened?
Maybe it's always,
we joined them.
No, they the cartels to send them and
we'll do. Anyway, thank you so much. And they're all really nice cartels. Hare Krishna.
And the ones that I was playing, I'm like, oh, this is so
yeah, I cool. Not like the plain. Yeah.
Krishna, thank you, Krishna.
All of that you'll process. Come on, you can do it.
I'm really glad now.